Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today? You guys can turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I got a silver dime for you, Quinn. Meet me halfway. Birthday present from Anonymous. You know? There you go. Josh, if I give Guinevere one, you got a piggy bank you can put it in. Hey, you know, probably worth like $4 by the time she's old enough to cash it in for something. There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, you guys are going to beat me there. 1 Peter chapter 2. I had somebody send me some information this week that I wasn't going to share, but now that Ed came up here, I will. Have actually now proven that since 2011, more people have died in weightlifting exercise than actually eating donuts. So, so there's that. I don't know how it started, but I try to create pictures for you guys. And I, you know, when we think about the new creation and understanding what it is that we've been given and putting the appropriate value on it, you know, I don't know why, but I got thinking about, look, you know, people stand out in lines and spend money on something if they think they got a chance of winning a bunch of money. And so Rain does a good job of showing us, like, is not what we have here much more valuable than that? And so in my own way, whatever that was, it just, you know, the donut was desirable. And, you know, just that illustration I use quite a bit. That if you could have discovered the donut that was delicious but came with no risks to your health, not only would you be eating it, but you'd find a way to market it, to sell it, and you'd be talking to all your friends about it. And so, yeah, the donut thing kind of came about is just like a gut check. I mean, how much do you really value this? And are you willing to eat it? And are you willing to share it with your friends and your family? And are you willing to market it and try to, you know, not sell it, but share it with others because you see its value? So that's where the donut came from. So thanks for, you know, sharing that information with me. It is a little skewed, though, because I also learned another piece of information that the donut is more dangerous than we realize because it's not like eating the donut and choking on it that kills us. It's like what it does to our cells, the whole, you know, 24 hours it's in our body that's killing us. So I just thought that was interesting. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 13. Submit. How many people have I already lost? I mean, that's a strong Bible word, isn't it? You know. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors as sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, we are just so grateful for everything that you have done on our behalf. What a great opportunity as we see in the wisdom of how you have designed the assemblies, that we would be gathered here today at the command of the New Testament, that those who would forsake this assembly are sinning, and that you would watch us as the day draws near, that we would follow your command to be here. We understand that we're not here necessarily just for ourselves, although Rain did a good job of reminding us that the Lord's Supper is a reminder of what you have done for us on an individual level. But we are here to equip one another for the work of service. We are here to consider how to stimulate others to love and good deeds. May we not forsake it. You have designed it, you have commanded it, but in it your wisdom shines through. That we would be encouraged and that we would be built up, and that we would our faith would be grown, and that we would understand what it is that you have asked us to do. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I want us to think this morning about our freedom, particularly as it relates to our spiritual freedom. And in verse 16, when he tells us to act as free men, but not to use that freedom as a covering for evil. So this has already become a two-part message. I can tell you that right now. So let's cover how this verse shows up in its context first. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. So we would submit ourselves to man-made institutions that are given power, and we would do it for the sake of God. Now we understand that that submission will be executed by us up until and until that authority would ask us to act contrary to God's word. We see that established particularly in Acts, as the apostles would say, we must obey God rather than man. But until, by your conscience, you are put in a position to obey God, you obey man. This is God's command, not Preacher Nolan. We do it for God's sake. Now, why would that be? Well, God doesn't really get a lot done if he's got a bunch of squabbling, complaining little kids that scream and whine every time something doesn't go their way. Okay? So you're out there in the world whining and complaining all the time how everything's wrong. You know, you're always complaining about the mayor and the governor and the city worker, and you're whining, this is silly. Oh, okay, but then you're going to turn around and preach Jesus to them, you know? It's like, well, you've already rubbed them the wrong way. So God doesn't get a lot done when his people constantly resist authority, squabbling, whining, complaining little kids. Okay? So, near as you can, best with your conscience, submit to the ruling authorities. Up until that is asked of you to violate God's word. Our job is try to live peacefully in this world so that we might, through our behavior, win the Gentiles, which last time I checked was also the context of this chapter. Okay? So, it's through our conduct and our behavior that we are trying to win the Gentiles to the Lord. Well, I'll save that one. So we submit to the one in authority, to the, you know, to the governor. You know, I saw a post that said, you know, if you have to give you know, one third of your income to the government in taxes, and if you have to be taxed on everything you do not live in a free society. And I would pretty much agree with that. Okay? But y'all still do it anyway, don't you? Okay? Well, and again, by your conscience, okay, you get to decide. But I'll pay the government its third, or whatever it's up to now. I'll pay the government its third off my wages if that means I can still move about and preach the gospel. And at some point, could end up in jail, but I'm going to try to make that a last resort. Okay, I don't know about you, but near as I can tell right now, I'm a little more effective outside of the prison than I would be inside. Right? So each of us gets to decide. Now, he does tell us in verse 14 that we should submit to governors because their job is to punish evildoers and to praise those who do right. So how's our government doing now? Well, now it's taken on the responsibility of educating children, which I haven't seen that one in the Bible yet. Okay, and all kinds of bureaucrats and all kinds of government programs, you know, to, all right, little outside of the scope of what God intended by government. Okay. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm really thankful for government. Because I don't want to be the person that has to decide that someone else is guilty of a crime punishable by death and then be the one to kill them. How about you? I'm kind of glad that I don't have to do that. How about you? I'm kind of glad that God has designed this world in a way that there has been a temporary transfer of authority to governing institutions to make sure that those who do wrong are punished and I don't have to do it. See, I couldn't handle that. I wouldn't sleep that well at night. Knowing that I had to be the judge, the officer, or I had to be the judge, the officer, and the executioner to right every wrong. I don't want to be that person. I want to be somebody who can walk by faith and try to live peaceably with all men and share the gospel. How about you? So, but it comes at an exchange, doesn't it? It's like, all right, God's put this authority on earth, and it's here. Obey it as best you can into your conscience. Don't ever violate God's commands. But it was originally intended just to be there, to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. So government has definitely outgrown the britches that God gave it. So that's the context in which our verse shows up. And in verse 16, he says, act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. And what I want us to see this morning, and then I can build on next week, is we've got freedom. Now, you know, and spiritually speaking, because this isn't true for every Christian on the earth, that they have physical freedom. In fact, many Christians on the earth did not have their physical freedom when the New Testament was being written. The freedom that they have is the freedom we have in Christ Jesus from our sins. So, we don't want to take our freedom and use it for a covering for evil. We need to use it to be slaves. So that can seem like a paradox in a sense. We know that with freedom comes great responsibility. Okay? If you are going to establish a republic, which our country was established as, and Rome was, in its inception, a republic, and just so you know, maybe this would be worth preaching sometime, any time God's faith has made any sort of spiritual advance in the history of our world, it has always been under the realm of republics. Okay? So, we know that with great freedom comes great responsibility. So if you are going to form a republic, a rule by law, and you're going to allow people to do what they want to do, then they're going to need to be pretty good at managing themselves. Because when they fail to manage themselves, that's when the police show up to enforce the republic, which is rule by law. That's what republic means. So, with great freedom comes great responsibility. We have to be self-governing. And to a degree, the church is that way as well. We have God's word, that's the law. And he wants us to act as free men. And we are going to have great responsibility in doing that. So, one, don't use it, he says, as a covering for evil, but make yourselves slaves. I want to unpackage that today. Now, that sounds a lot like Galatians 5, so I'll have you turn on over there. Okay. Let's look at this from a physical lens really quick. From a human example. We've got freedom, which means we can get in those cars, and to a certain extent, we can decide what car we want. Let's start with what we can afford. But you do not have to buy a Chevy. You're allowed to buy a Toyota or whatever one you want. You've got some freedom. So you got to choose the color if you wanted to. And you also get to choose where that thing goes when you leave here. And you also get to choose how close the pedal goes to reaching the floor or the metal. The pedal to the... You get to choose that, don't you? So what's the only thing keeping everybody from going 100 miles an hour down 48th right now? Their ability to control themselves. That's a republic. Now there's a law, and if you can't control yourself, the policeman come find you. Okay? But you guys see the picture. You've got freedom. Don't go turn around and use it for evil. Don't go take your freedom and turn around and use it for the wrong thing. And then he says, better yet, go make yourself a slave. That's the picture. So spiritually speaking, we've got great freedom, right? Can we take that freedom, put the pedal to the metal, and yet violate God? You bet. And I want to look at how that is done. To keep us from doing that, God tells us, with your freedom, go serve somebody. Because that's what a bond slave is. A bond servant. He says, take your freedom and go serve other people. Do you guys see that picture? If I get in my car with my freedom, right now it is a white Honda, very nice car, and I get in that, and I choose not to use it for my own purpose, which would be to go 110 miles an hour. I am a man. I have that in me, that thrill, that joy to go very fast, okay? And I'm going to use it to serve other people. What's the first way I can serve other people as a slave? Like, drive safely? Right? That would be a really good way to serve the minivan that's coming down the road with a, you know, car full of kids. How about drive in a reasonable manner that's safe for other people? I'm going to take my freedom and I'm going to subject it to the needs of others, and I'm going to make myself the servant. And that's the picture spiritually. Okay? This is unfortunately a YouTube video that I saw, but you understand, people send me lots of YouTube clips, people that I study with. Street preachers, for example. And they want to say, can we look at what he's teaching scripturally? I get these kinds of questions a lot. So this one guy says, I was working with an individual. Now, he wasn't in a therapist type setting, but someone was coming to him asking him for advice. And he said, he's a street preacher, you know. And he said, what I want you to do for the next week, I want you to go home and I want you to pretend that every person that you interact with is Jesus. So the guy said, okay. So he's got freedom, right? He's been living his life for himself up to this point. And what the guy's asking him to do is to take his freedom and to then serve and subject himself to other people. That's what Peter's saying here. You guys see that picture? So he goes out. He gets home. This is a young man. He gets home. Mom's doing the dishes. Looks at mom. If that were Jesus and Jesus were washing the dishes, I would probably help. So, hey, Ma, you need some help with the dishes? Good. Dad gets home, comes in the door. Oh, hey, Dad. If that were Jesus, I'd probably ask him about his day. You know, how many times do people just come home and just say, hey, you know, basement, upstairs, you know, just ignore each other. You know. Well, if that were Jesus, I'd probably ask him about your day. Hey, Dad, how was your day? Oh, and then listen. I mean, really listen. Oh, yeah, it was good. Yeah, thanks for. Oh, yeah, thanks for asking. It was great. Good, good. Okay, now it's dinner time, right? I don't. Maybe they're eating Dino Nuggies. Okay, there's one Dino Nugget left, and the kid looks at his brother, says, "Well, if that was Jesus, I would probably offer him the last dino nugget. Hey, do you want the last dino nugget? Yeah, sure." Comes back and says, after 1 week of doing that, it changed his entire life. That makes sense, doesn't it? I'm kind of excited to make that more of a forefront in my week. Okay? Now, I have different things that I try to focus on every week. I'm not saying that I don't view you guys as Christ. Okay? But I want to make that, like, I want to try to do that for a whole week and see what it does for my perspective with people, right? That's kind of the goal of what we're doing here. Not to regard one another according to the flesh, but as new creations, which would be the biblical support for this exercise, right? So what's going on here? Well, you're taking your freedom, which is you could go and do whatever you want this week, and then you're going to subject it by serving other people the whole rest of the week. And the reminder is going to be, well, picturing them as Christ. That's our verse. Act as free men. Don't use it to serve yourself. Go serve other people. Okay? I'm going to read it one more time. You guys stay in Galatians. Act as free men. Don't use your freedom as a covering for evil. Use it as bond slaves of God. You're not going to use it to cover up the things you want to do under the pretense of, well, I'm free. We'll get there. But turn around and go be a slave to someone else. When you come home and you do the dishes, you're subjecting yourself to that other person. When you consider other people and their day above your own, you're enslaving yourself to that person. When you give somebody something that you want and it's the last one, you are choosing to subject yourself to someone else. And that's the idea we're supposed to have with our freedom. Now that sounds a lot like Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. He says, you were called to freedom. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. Two different authors, the exact same thing, isn't it? You've got freedom. Don't use it to cover evil or to satisfy the flesh, which those are the exact same thing. But instead, turn around, he says, and serve others. Peter's way of saying that is be a bond slave of God. Okay? That's the picture here. And he goes on in Peter, love the brotherhood. It's important. Okay? We're kind of quick to write each other off sometimes because terrible things happen. Can't write each other off. Right? Got to be patient. Work with them if they're repenting and willing to come to repentance. Okay? A lot that could be said here. But the purpose is not to push your own agenda and your own will, but to see who can I serve. And so the question is, who did you serve this week? Or did you only serve yourself? Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. He says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Now, wait a minute. What did Peter say? Be free. Make yourself a slave. Right? Paul says, it was for freedom's sake, don't make yourself a slave. Can you see the difference, at least? So we have to understand that something else is going on here. Now, I'll give you the preview, because if you look at verse 2, you're going to see the word circumcision, right? So what's happening in this context is you have freedom. Don't turn around and enslave yourself back to the law. You have freedom, enslave yourself to serving others. You see that? Now, what I want us to understand is, spiritually speaking, as new creations under this covenant of grace, which was realized through Christ, is we can take our freedom and we can malign it two different ways. We can take this freedom and then we can enslave ourselves back to the law, which would be an incorrect thing to do. That would be maligning faith. Or we can take our freedom and we can use it as a covering for evil. You see that? So what does this look like? The picture I'll leave you with, and then I'll pick up next week. We have freedom in Christ. Amen? Jesus says anybody who commits sin is a slave of sin. Okay? He came to make us free. Free we are indeed. So we have been freed. We were immersed into Christ. Our sins and our past were washed away from us. We were given the Holy Spirit to continually renew us, Titus says, day by day. So we are cleansed. Our conscience is clean before God. We've been freed from that sin. The result of that freedom from that sin is freedom itself. It was for freedom's sake, Paul says, that Christ set us free. So now we're free, which means spiritually speaking, we can leave here, physically and spiritually, and go do whatever we want. And there are two ways you gum that up. And it's to turn around and to hold others in judgment under laws and rules. Okay? Or is to turn around and use your freedom as Christ to cover what you really want to do, the desires of the flesh. Does that make sense? One leads to hypocrisy, living life under law, judging others according to the rule book, and you never know the full story, by the way, so stop doing that. Okay? You never know. Okay? That leads to division, and it leads to hypocrisy. We'll see that in the end of Galatians 5. The other one, when we use our freedom to cover for evil, always leads to licentiousness. Always. It's like you have this free license to sin. So, you've heard it in this way. Okay, like, there's one particular religious institution that, and again, there's varying degrees of beliefs inside the denomination. I understand that. But there's one group that says you're not allowed to have caffeine. Have you guys heard that before? But yet, their institution owns caffeine making businesses. Isn't that interesting? Trying to force people under laws that aren't in the New Testament always leads to hypocrisy. Okay? Now, taking the freedom you have in Christ and then using that freedom, well, I'm free to go do whatever you want, always leads to licentiousness. It sounds like this. Well, Jesus ate and drank with sinners. Well, Jesus drank. Right? That's someone taking their freedom in Christ, turning it into a covering for evil, and then saying, yeah, I'm going to go befriend the world, which the Bible says there's no harmony with the world and with Christ. And, you know, I'm going to take up an alcohol drinking habit, which I do, you know, yeah, I'm not sober when I do it, okay? And that's such a slippery slope, isn't it? Because it's like, you could probably have one beer and not violate your mind and your soberness, because the Bible says be sober at all times for the purpose of prayer, right? But it's like, you know, one, you're probably good. Two, probably gotten a little bit of a buzz. If you can do three, four, and not get a buzz, that's because you're doing it every night. You see the difference there? So now we've got this, we're on this really delicate line, you know, sorry, Mrs. Bolton, where we're like, you know, we want to use this covering, right? And I'm just giving you guys a picture. People say, ah, well, I can befriend the world because Jesus ate with sinners. That's a covering for evil. Do you see that? What did Jesus do when he was eating with sinners? He called them to repentance. You're participating in the sin in this example, whatever it may be. I'm just creating a picture for you. I'm not saying y'all do this, okay? So we've got this thing, which is our faith. And with it comes great responsibility. And we are free. And what God wants us to do with it is to make sure we're walking down the right path. We've got to continually subject ourselves to others. That's the mindset. How can I help? I should wash the dishes. I should share the dino nugget. I should, okay, who did you serve this week? Or did you only serve yourself? How you take this great freedom that we have and malign it is to then turn around and try to hold everybody else to a rule book that you're not keeping yourself. You see that? Or to use it as a covering for what you want to do. Which is a reason why we have 4/5 verses in the New Testament warning Christians to not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Do you see why that verse is there now? Say, oh, well, Jesus ate with sinners, so I'm going to befriend the world, and I'm going to practice in their practices and share in their thoughts, right? And then you use this covering for evil, which is like, oh, well, Jesus did it, so I can do it. You've taken your faith, and instead of serving others, you are serving yourself. See the difference? So in chapter 5, verse 1, he says it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will of be no benefit to you. Don't take your freedom and enslave yourself to Old Testament customs. Take yourself and make yourself a bondservant of God, Peter said. Okay? Then if you jump down here, to verse 13, which we read, you were called to freedom, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. That's the licentiousness piece, where now you're using your freedom. Oh, you say things like, well, to the pure, all things are pure. Does the New Testament say that? Yes. But when we use verses like that to then turn around and practice sin, which is also clearly defined by the Bible, we are using our freedom as a covering for evil. You see that? So that's the picture I want you guys to see this morning, is we've got great freedom and we can get in these spiritual vehicles and we can leave today and we can kind of do whatever we want, so to speak. Now, to make sure you're staying on the right path, God wants you to use that freedom to see others as Christ and to figure out how you can serve them, right? And what Galatians is defining for us is there's two ways we don't want to go with that freedom. And it's to take that freedom that we have and turn it back into the law and a bunch of rule books and then just start bopping everybody on the head when they're not doing what we think they should be doing. The problem is that always leads to hypocrisy, because have you kept the rule book perfectly? But you never let other people bop you with the head. You're the judge, right? We don't want to do that with our faith and our independence. And the other thing we don't want to do is say things like, you know, we're not under law, and to the pure, all things are pure. And then for the sake of using that to cover sin that we want to practice in our lives. And what will be really cool next week is not only do Peter and Paul tell us both to take our freedom and to serve one another, but then we get a definition for the new creation, which tells us what we ought to do. And when we see that picture, that'll be really cool. Let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord, it makes sense to me that, you know, that you have communicated yourself as a father and that we as your children. And the father disciplines his children. And the children desire to do what is right. And that you would not only lead us and be willing to discipline us if we need it, but you have a great plan for us. You are raising us as children, and as a wise father, you are teaching us how we need to think and what we can do to be successful. You know, sometimes fathers transfer life lessons to kids and maybe even certain skills to their sons, as a mother transfers skills to their daughters. But you're leading us spiritually, and you're teaching us how to think and how to act and what is right and what is wrong. And the lesson is that we have spiritual freedom. You've made that available for us. You were willing to die and pay the price so that we could be spiritually free. But let's take that and remember to use it to serve others like Christ did, and not to serve ourselves. Thank you for that reminder. Thank you that we can see these connections, even though they're written by two different people, their words agree, and that we can understand what it is that you want from us, which is faith working through love, the new creation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I am excited.